And I invite you to take your Bibles tonight, if you have them, and turn with us to the book of James, chapter number 2. James chapter 2 tonight. And we have been going through the book of James over the last, really now, month and a half. Just kind of journeying our way through James, seeing some truths that might help us in a practical way to live the Christian life. And, of course, last Sunday night we did not have service, and last Sunday night I had an entirely different message from the book of James ready to go. We were going to be here in chapter 2 and begin with verse number 14, but then as I was reading the book of, or chapter 2 this past week, I noticed that, well, I skipped over two verses entirely that I thought would be helpful for us, practically speaking, as we seek to live the Christian life. And you know, I believe the Lord orders our steps, and He has for us exactly what He has planned for us. And it's just our responsibility to take heed to that and to listen to that. And if we would have had service last Sunday night, I would have just blew right past what I believe He has for us here tonight. Of course, tonight this would be and will be our sixth message here in the book of James. Up to this point, we've seen the need for Christian maturity. We've seen how as Christians we can deal with trials. We've seen that in time of need that we can go to the Bible for help. We've seen the difference between not only hearing the Bible, hearing the Word of God, but actually doing the Word of God, doing what we hear from the Bible. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the thought of how we ought to have no favorites, no favoritism with the house of God and in the with the children of God, because God Himself, He has no favorites. He looks at us all the same, and we saw that last week. And you're there, James chapter 2, and I'd invite your attention to notice there verse number 12 and verse number 13. James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. The Bible says this: "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." For a few moments tonight, I'd like to preach us this very simple thought: the judgment of God. The judgment of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You again for this night. And Lord, we do thank You for Your love and Your mercy towards us. And Lord, we do thank You again for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in Your house on a Sunday night to open Your Word and see a truth that might help us be the Christian in the church You'd have us to be. And now, Lord, just help us realize that one day we're going to stand before You. And Lord, help us to live our life in light of that fact. Help us to, with Your help, be what You'd have us to be. And now, Lord, we just pray You'd come down, meet with us in the mighty and a special and real way as only You can. And Lord, now for all that You'll do, we'll be careful to give You the praise, the honor, the glory. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Help me to say those things which need to be said. Help me to not say what needs not be said, and help the message to be a help, a challenge, and encouragement to these Your people as we get ready to embark on another week. And Lord, for all that You'll do, we'll be careful to give You the praise, honor, and glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we see here, and notice again, if you would, verse number 12 especially. Thanks, sweetheart. The Bible says, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." Now, if you've been in church any length of time, you have no doubt read a church's doctrinal statement. You've read a church's statement of faith, and usually, and ours is no different. That statement of faith, that doctrinal statement, will end with some type of a statement about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will end with some type of a statement regarding what's going to happen in the end times, what's going to happen at the final judgment. Now, like with many things, not all Christians agree as to the details of these future events. We've preached a little bit on the different types of raptures that different groups hold to. You have the pre-tribulation, pre-wrath rapture. You have the mid-trib rapture, and then you have the post-trib rapture. You have some that teach, well, we'll be here for the first 3.5 years, and then we'll be taken up before the judgment start. Some teach that that we'll be here for the entire 7 years, judgment included. And from Scripture, we know that as a church, that after the book of, or after Revelation chapter 3, the church doesn't appear. And we have promises from the Lord Jesus Christ himself that we will be spared from judgment. And in Thessalonians, we have the talking of the catching away of the church. And so we know that from Scripture, we can really, without much effort, not only define but defend a pre-tribulation, pre-wrath rapture, that before everything hits the fan, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to take us out of here. And but it doesn't change the fact that there are those that have other views, albeit wrong. They have those views. And what they don't deny is the certainty of the end times, the certainty of the return of Jesus. Now, not only that, but they don't deny the importance of a final judgment. Now, it's very important to note. Take your Bibles and go over, if you would, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, because both Jesus and the Apostle Paul would assure us as Christians that as Christians, we are never going to be judged for our sins. And so when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday, if we know him as our Savior, it's not going to be judged for our sins. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and notice there if you would. Verse number 24. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. The Bible there says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And then notice, if you would, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, because not only is this a promise from Jesus, and by the way, that's the only promise we ultimately need, is the promise from Jesus that it's not going to be for our sins, but we also have the promise from the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 8, and notice there, if you would, verse number 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I'm thankful tonight that as a Christian, now that we're saved, now that we're born again, now that we know Christ as our Savior, there's no condemnation to those who know Christ. I think tonight of the account of the woman at the well. I think it was the woman at the well. Was it the woman at the well? No. It was the woman caught in adultery. The woman caught in adultery. And the crowd was getting ready to stone her. And Jesus comes along and he begins to write something in the ground. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus was writing on the ground in the sand. Some surmise that Jesus was writing the sins of the people that were getting ready to stone her. And he, of course, says, those who are without sin, cast the first stone. And after they all get up and depart, Jesus goes to the woman and he says, who now condemns thee? And the woman says, no one, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn thee. And then we have perhaps one of the greatest phrases found in all of the Bible, where Jesus tells this woman caught in adultery, a life wrecked with sin, he tells her to go and sin no more. And when you and I got saved, when you and I trusted Christ as our Savior, that's the very same thing he said to us, spiritually speaking, go and sin no more. Now there's no condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ if we know him as our Savior. So we're not going to be judged for our sins. But what will be judged will be our works. Those will be judged and they will be rewarded. You're there in Romans. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 14. A couple of chapters over, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And notice there, if you would, verses 10 through 13. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13. The Bible says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And so, just very simple, in layman's terms tonight, you know, oftentimes we become guilty of, we allow ourselves to judge other people. And what the Bible is saying here is that, listen, instead of worrying about somebody else's sin, we need to be worried about our own sin. We need to be worried about our own works. We need to be worried about our own self, because we are ultimately the ones that are accountable for us. You know, we think of somebody and we might see great potential in them, and they might have great potential to serve the Lord, but they let that potential, they let it go by the wayside, and we think, man, if they would just get serious about serving God, if we could just get them serious about the things of God. But we have to remember that that's not our responsibility. We can't force somebody to get serious about the things of God. It's not our job. We're not accountable for them. We're accountable for us. Are we serious about serving God? Are we serious about the things of God? Are we serious about doing the things of God? And so we need to realize we are going to be accountable, and we are going to be the ones that stand before God for ourselves someday. And then look, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. And notice there, if you would, verses 9 and 10. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So one day, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to stand for the last judgment. And one day, we're going to stand and we're going to be asked, are we guilty of pleasing God? Are we going to be accepted of God? Our life is going to be tested. We're going to be held accountable, and we will face judgment and works on that day. But go back over there to James. And so one day, there's judgment coming. And the question becomes, well, what are we going to be judged on? What are some things that we're going to face judgment regarding? And well, I believe we see the answer here in James chapter 2. Notice there, if you would, again, verses 12 and 13. The very first part of verse number 12, the Bible says, "So speak ye and do," or I'm sorry, "so speak ye and so do." So the very first thing we see that we're going to be judged by is we see our words will be judged. Our words will be judged. Notice verse number 3, James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." And so you notice here these words that are spoken to these two visitors in verse number 3. And the principle, the application is just very simple. And that is, what we say to people and how we say it will one day come up before God. You know, sometimes, how many times have we been guilty of sometimes opening mouth and inserting foot? I think we can all say we've been guilty of that. That sometimes our mouth gets put into motion before our brain kicks in the gear. And before we know it, we've said something, the words have come out of our mouth before we've even had a chance to think about it. And listen, when those words are gone, there's no getting them back. When you say it, they're there, they're gone, and it's been said, it's been done. And sure, you might be able to apologize, you might be able to, you know, put a spin on it or whatever the case may be. But the simple fact is, those words, once they leave our mouth, they're out there and they're gone for good. And the Bible tells us even our careless words are going to be judged. And we know the Bible tells us over in Matthew that, you know, the words we speak, they come from the heart. And so when God judges the words, what he's really doing is examining the heart. And you know, growing up, there used to be the whole, kids used to say it all the time, you know, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me," you know. And that's a cute little rhyme or whatever the case may be. But the truth is tonight, words can hurt. Words can have an effect. In fact, go over, if you would, James chapter 4. James chapter 3, I'm sorry. And we'll eventually cover this in more detail. But James chapter 3. And notice there, if you would, let's begin at verse number 5. James chapter 3, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And then notice there, verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so, yeah, that little rhyme that we said as kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, that goes against Scripture. That goes against the Bible. It goes against the Word of God tonight. And I once heard a preacher, he preached a message, and he entitled it, "The Most Dangerous Member in the Entire Church." The most dangerous member in all the church. And he used this text here, James chapter 3, because it's the tongue. And the tongue can be a very, you can either use it for good or you can use it for evil. And I hope tonight that we'd use our tongues, our words, for good, because one day we're going to stand before God and He's going to judge us for those words and those things which we said. But not only that, secondly tonight, not only will our words be judged, but our deeds will be judged. Our deeds will be judged. Go over, if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 tonight. Colossians chapter 3. And notice there, if you would, verses 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 25. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. The Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." So we see again exactly why it is we do what we do. And we serve God, and we do things for God, and we do things for the church. Not necessarily for anybody else, not for our fellow brothers or sisters in Christ, but we do it for God. And because we're doing it for God, we ought to do it and give our whole hearts. 110% give it to the Lord, because one day we're going to be judged of those deeds. Now, again, it's true that God, He doesn't remember our sin anymore. And He's never going to hold our sin against us. But here's a truth for us tonight, and that is this. Our sins affect our character, and our sins affect our works. And as Christians tonight, we cannot sin lightly. And so oftentimes we do just that. We sin lightly, and we still think we can serve faithfully. But the truth is tonight, we cannot, you know, the Bible, it has the illustration that, you know, we can't straddle the fence. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God. We have to make a decision. We have to make and draw a line in the sand. So we're either going to sin faithfully and not serve faithfully, or we're going to sin less and serve Him faithfully. And so now we know God, He forgives our sins when we confess them to Him. But here's the truth of the matter tonight, is that sin still has consequences. And oftentimes, even though God forgives the sin, we're still left to deal with the consequences. And sin still has consequences. And so we see tonight that our words will be judged, and then our deeds will be judged. But then thirdly and finally tonight, and you can go back there to James chapter number 2. We see not only will our words be judged, our deeds will be judged, but Thirdly and finally, our attitudes will be judged. Our attitudes will be judged. Notice there, if you would, verse number 13. Verse number 13, James chapter 2. The Bible says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." And so we see here, James is considering really two attitudes here in this verse. He's considering the attitude of showing mercy to others, but then he's also considering the attitude of, well, not showing mercy to other people. And, you know, if we have been merciful towards others, then the principle tonight is just simply this: then God can be merciful toward us. But what often happens is that we start to twist this truth and we turn it around and we turn it upside down and we turn it on its head and we start to turn it into a lie. And now what it does not mean is, it does not mean that we earn mercy by showing mercy. That would be working for our salvation. Because we know tonight it's impossible to earn mercy. It's impossible to earn God's salvation. It's impossible to earn God's forgiveness. Because if it's earned, then it's not mercy. If it's earned, then it's not grace. If it's earned, then it's not forgiveness. But it also doesn't mean that we should be soft on sin, that we should never judge it in the lives of others. You know, maybe sometimes you hear, well, you know, I just don't condemn anybody, someone once told me. And they said they were going, well, if I don't condemn anybody, then God's not going to condemn me. That goes against Scripture. That goes against the Word of God. See, mercy and justice. And sometimes go and read the book of Amos if you really want a true picture of God's mercy and God's justice on display. The book of Amos, the minor prophet book of Amos, is a very wonderful book dealing with those two topics. But mercy and justice, they are both things that come from God. And so, you know, they're not competitors. They don't compete with one another. And where God finds repentance and faith, he is able to show mercy. And where he finds rebellion and unbelief, then he must administer justice. You know, it's the heart of the sinner tonight that determines the treatment he gets. You notice there, in verse number 13, the Bible says that we're going to be judged, or verse number 12, that they shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now, this, of course, is talking about the Bible. It's talking about God's Word. Now, I got to thinking about this. Why did James refer to the Bible as the law of liberty? Why did he call it that? Well, for one thing, when we obey God's law, it frees us from sin. It enables us to walk in liberty. Psalm 119 teaches us that. But also, the law is what prepares us for liberty. Because remember, when we talk about the law that was given by God, first with the Ten Commandments, and then in the New Testament when he came, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he did away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he said, and upon these two hang all the law. The law was given for one purpose. And that was to show us that we were incapable of keeping the law. And that we needed a Savior. And that Savior was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at the law and we think about the law is what prepares us to be free. The law is what prepares us for liberty. You think about if you've had kids, and as they were growing up in your house, what did you have for them? You had rules, and you had regulations, and you had maybe curfews and bedtimes, and maybe they had to finish their homework before they watched TV or played a video game or went out with their friends or, you know, whatever the case may be. But when they were growing up and they were in your home, you had rules and you had regulations and all the rest. And the reason for that is because, you know, despite what kids think, especially in today's day and age, kids today are not mature enough to handle the decisions and demands of life. And so that's why God, in his wisdom, gave them a parent and a guardian or a grandparent, whatever the case may be, to help them make those decisions while they're young. And likewise, he is given outward discipline so that he might develop inward discipline and one day be free of rules. You know, and again, I think we can all attest to this. We can all remember this. But when I was a kid, you know, I used to think, especially as I got older and became a teenager, I could not wait to be an adult. I could not wait to move out and have my own place and everything that came along with that. But then very quickly, I found out some things that come with your own place and some things that come with being on your own. All of a sudden, you get your own bills. Isn't that amazing how that works? When you're a kid, no bills. When you're a kid, nothing to worry about. But then all of a sudden you turn 18 or even before, I think I was even before 18 and I was already paying for my own phone bill. I was helping pay the cable bill and at times helping get groceries and different things like that. And then Mandy and I got married, and then before I knew it, not only was I helping with groceries and paying the phone bill and helping pay the cable bill, but now I was responsible for the whole phone bill. And now I was responsible for the whole cable bill and the whole grocery bill and the car bill and the insurance and medical expenses and everything that comes along with these wonderful things as you get out on your own. And, you know, every now and again, there's a meme that pops up, you know, on Facebook that says, "I don't feel like adulting today." You ever feel like that? You just don't feel like adulting any particular day? And some days, you know, I feel like that. And, you know, it seems like as soon as the money gets into the bank account, it seems like something comes up to drain the bank account. Like this week, Brother Kenny, he robbed us. I mean, just held a gun to us and took our money. No, I'm kidding. We had to take the car to the shop and have some work done. And it actually turned out to be less than what they quoted us. And that's always a blessing, you know, when you go somewhere and, you know, they quote you one price and it comes in under the quote. And so that was a blessing. But, you know, when you're on your own, you know, you're out from your parents' house and everything, well, now you're responsible for these things. And so, but that's what the law does and the rules and the regulations do. It helps you to one day be free of the rules while still being able to make decisions and take care of yourself. Now, we think about this liberty. And as Christians tonight, we have liberty in Christ. And I'm thankful that we have liberty in Christ. But liberty does not mean license. License is doing whatever I want to do. And that's the worst kind of bondage. That's the worst type to have. But liberty means the freedom to be all that I can be in Jesus Christ. License is a confinement. Liberty is fulfillment. And so again, in verse number 12, James refers to the Bible as the law of liberty. And that's because God sees our hearts. And he knows what we would have done had we been free to do so. You know, sometimes I think if we just did what we wanted to do, you know, where would we be sometimes if we just, you know, we thought of it and we did it? Man, we'd be in a world of trouble, wouldn't we? We'd be in a world of hurt if we just did, you know, whatever came to our mind. And, you know, the Christian, you know, sometimes as Christians, we obey because, well, the school has rules to obey, right? You know, we obey because, well, that's what the rules say to do, and we do it because the rules are there. But what do we do when the rules aren't there? What do we do when there's no rules holding us back? And that's where the Word of God comes in. That's where the law of liberty comes in. And it's God's Word that can change our hearts and give us the desire to do God's will. And so now we do what God wants us to do, not because God tells us this is what He wants us to do, but now we do what God tells us to do because now we actually want to do what God tells us to do. And that's the difference tonight. You know, it's one thing, well, you know, rule A, B, and C. Well, all right, I'll do rule A, B, and C. But what if they were taken away? Well, if we knew they were there for our help in the first place, wouldn't we still do it even if they were taken away? I hope, at least, that we would. And so, sum it up. What's the application of these two verses tonight? Well, it's this. Our beliefs should control our behavior. Our beliefs should control our behavior. We should do the will of God. We should do what God wants us to do, not just because it's a set of rules in the Bible. We should do what God wants us to do because we want to do it. Because we know it brings Him honor. We know it brings Him glory. We know that it brings Him it makes us accepted before Him. And you know tonight, if we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe He's the Son of God tonight, if we believe that God is gracious, if we believe that His Word is true, if we believe that one day He will judge us, then you know what? We're going to conduct ourselves in a way that will reveal our convictions. And you know, oftentimes we get so hung up on, well, who believes what we don't believe and what we, and so on and so forth. But you know, you think about somebody like Jonah tonight, right? Jonah, when you look at it, he had wonderful theology. He probably knew the Bible better than some. But yet he hated people. And he was angry with God. Listen, you can know all the Bible you want. You can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But if you're not living it, then what good is it? One of the tests of the reality of our faith tonight is how we treat other people. And one day we're going to be judged for our words. We're going to be judged for our deeds. Our attitudes are going to be judged. Are our attitudes passing the test? Are our deeds passing the test? Are our words passing the test? One day we're going to stand before God. One day we're going to stand before Him. I hope that when we do, that we'll be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I hope one day we'll be able to stand before Him. And listen, I'm not saying tonight that we're going to be 100% perfect all of the time. Because none of us are always on or always perfect or, you know, whatever phrasing you want to use. Sometimes we say some stupid things, don't we? You know, we just let it out and, you know, we worry about the consequences later. Sometimes we do something that, you know, sometimes we're having a bad day and we let our attitude get the best of us. Someday we, you know, we do something that if we were maybe in a better state of mind or, you know, took time to think about it, we wouldn't have done it. And listen, we're all guilty of those things. But the idea is, okay, learn from it. Ask the Lord's help. Lord, help me to get victory over those areas. And help me to have my words that are seasoned. Help me to control the tongue. Help me to do those deeds that are right. Help me to control the attitude. And listen, in our day and age, that's easier said than done. Because listen, people can be annoying. They really can. But as Christians, we're to be different. And we're to love them. We're to treat them kindly. We're to treat them like God would treat them. And so remember that. One day, we're going to stand before God. And how are we going to be judged on that day we stand before Him? I hope it'll be a good judgment day for us when we do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.